all other ideas or thoughts. We're going to pick up in, let's see here. I read down to verse 9 this morning. Let me read just a few verses. Maybe comment as I go so you don't need to stand. Get to Genesis 24, look at verse 10. Genesis 24, 10. We talked this morning about, first of all, the willingness of Eliezer to serve. He was a servant, and he was Abraham's servant. Now, somebody brought this up to me afterwards, and I'm not really sure, because as you read two chapters prior, when Abraham took Isaac up to Mount Moriah to offer him up as a sacrifice, Abraham took two servants with him. Now, the Bible says there were two young men with him. Somebody thought this morning or asked, and I really don't know because it's not mentioned, maybe Eliezer was one of them. Not sure. He may have witnessed that whole thing with Abraham and Isaac. Not sure about that because it doesn't say, and it does say that they were younger. So I really can't say if it was Eliezer or not. But we do know that Eliezer was the main steward for the house of Abraham. And so here in Genesis chapter 24, starting in verse 10, it says, "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he rose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor." Now, between 10 and 11 is about, I think, about 500 miles. And it goes right to verse 11, and it says, "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water." Now, ladies, I got to tell you something. Your job in your household was to be a water drawer. That's what you did. You took a pitcher, you took a bucket, you took something, and you went to the well every day, depending on the time. Some places it was noon, some places it was in the evening. This particular time, you were to go in the evening and draw the water for your family. That was your task. That was your job. Men were off doing something else. I don't know what they were doing, but it was the women's job to do that. If you remember during the time of Moses, Moses was there on the backside of the desert. And you remember that at that time, all those women came out to draw water. And there was a bunch of other, who were they, Canaanites? I forget exactly who they were, trying to stop them from doing that. And Moses stepped in and actually rescued the ladies, but they were out there to draw water. Then in John chapter 4, you have the Samaritan woman. She's there drawing water at noon or around the noontime, middle of the day. So apparently that was the lady's job, was to go down to the well and get the water for the family. And so in between verses 10 and 11 is the trip that Eliezer took. And we just kind of read right along, and we don't stop and think about the long, arduous task of that trip that he had to take. About 500 miles one way. That took several days, if not weeks, to get to that destination. But the Bible doesn't record anything in between that, but we do know that that's what took place. And so he's there by the water, by the well. And then it says in verse 12, "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." Apparently, Eliezer was a prayer warrior. He got a hold of God, and he was begging God for this. I think he was praying the whole trip myself. I think he was praying from the start, before he even left, before he got the camels together. He's praying and asking God to help. As he's traveling, he's praying and asking God to help. And now it's at the point of something is going to take place. He is there at the well. Women are coming out at this particular time of day. He wanted to make sure that the right woman came for his master Isaac, for his master Abraham, and then for Isaac. So he is praying. He is asking God for help and assistance in this matter. "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." I love the next verse, and I've underlined it in my Bible. "And it came to pass before he had done speaking." Before he even got done praying, what's God doing? Moving. Of course, God was moving way before the trip. Right? Amen? I mean, God already had Rebecca handpicked for Isaac way beforehand. But a lot of times, you know, God has things already mapped out for us. We just don't know what that is. And so as we are praying every day of our lives, asking for God's help, asking for God's guidance, asking for God's wisdom, God then reveals to us. He can't reveal everything to you at one particular time early on. You know, when you're born, you're 1 year old, you think God's going to reveal everything for the rest of your life at the age of 1 or 5 or 10 or 15 or 20? No. God reveals things sometimes at the very last minute. And this is one of those cases where before he had done speaking, the Lord, and that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. This is an amazing thing. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." I'm sure that Eliezer is like, maybe has his mouth dropped open. Maybe he's got a huge smile on his face. Maybe he is just looking, his countenance is just improving greatly because she's the one that said, "Well, let me draw water for your camels also." Isn't that what he just prayed about? Just a few seconds prior to this. So God is working this whole thing out for not only Abraham, but Isaac, Rebekah, and Eliezer because of his faithfulness. I believe that because of his faithfulness, God was really blessing this man. And this man knew who God was, and he had witnessed so much with his master Abraham. He had seen God work tremendous and miraculous ways in the household of Abraham. And so Eliezer was a godly man. He was a believer in God. He knew all about this, and he was a believer in prayer. And he is just, I'm sure, praising God. He tells us here in a moment what he does. And so she said that. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, okay, next verse. Verse 20, and she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. She's got to give 10 camels enough water to drink. Now, a camel can go 3 days, at least 3 days, without drinking any water. These camels could have been a little thirsty. And so they could be sucking that water down like crazy. And she's just running back and forth. And Eliezer is standing back there and just loving every minute of it because he knew it was of God. And he's seeing in this woman, Rebecca, that she also was a servant. Amen. And so one servant to another servant, Eliezer is just, I can't imagine what he's thinking. We know a little bit because he actually shares this. But to see this whole thing unfold in front of him, you and I know that God answers prayer. But to see it unfold in front of you does a lot for your prayer life, right? It does something for your prayer life to the point where you say, I'm going to keep on praying. If God can answer prayer like this, God can do it again the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and the next time. So when God answers our prayer, He is literally assuring us that He can answer prayer. And He does. He is a prayer-answering God. And so in verse 21, it says, and a man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. I think he already knew that, but he's just waiting. He's patiently waiting and wondering what is going on. We'll stop there just for a moment. Let me just finish up on point one, the willingness of the servant. We talked a lot this morning about being faithful. But let me give you just a couple more things on that. We'll move rapidly here tonight because we want to get into this meeting and get things taken care of. We want you home at least by 11 o'clock anyway because I know that tomorrow's a school day and a work day and all that. So we'll get you home by 11 o'clock. But a Christian, I gave you 10 things this morning to be faithful about, but also a Christian is going to be rewarded for his or her faithfulness. You will be rewarded for your faithfulness. Let me just show you a couple of passages on this. Go over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2:10. says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. The last part of this verse is what's important. It says, "Be thou faithful unto what? Death. Death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." A crown of life. When you are faithful, you will be rewarded for your faithfulness. Now, faithfulness is to be a continuous thing until you die. It's not just for a certain amount of time. Okay, I'll be faithful until I'm 65. Then I'm going to retire from being faithful. I'll be faithful until I'm 70 and then I'll quit being faithful. No, we are to be faithful until death. Amen. Until death. And that or until Jesus comes, whichever comes first. Right? I mean, you and I, it's our responsibility to be faithful even unto death, according to the Bible. Go back to Luke chapter 12. Being faithful actually earns rewards. In Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 44. Luke 12, 42 through 44. Luke chapter 12, 42. "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Find so doing. And so our faithfulness needs to be a doing faithfulness, not a doing nothing faithfulness. You got that? We got to be doing something in order to be faithful. And then it says, "Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." So there is rewards for being faithful. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. In verse 21 and 23. Matthew 25, 21. Well, let me read verse 20. Give you the context. Matthew 25, 20. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over what? Many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So is there rewards for faithfulness? Yes. There is rewards for being faithful. Look at 2 John, John's second letter. John's second letter, 2 John in verse 8. 2 John, verse 8. John says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we shall receive a full reward." Don't lose the things that you have done. Continue to always be faithful. Don't stop being faithful because maybe somebody else has stopped being faithful. We have a lot of that going on today. Well, you know, and listen, I will say this. People are watching us. People are watching our faithfulness. And I know it's no excuse, but if you lead somebody down the unfaithful path, that's a problem that you have that you need to get taken care of with God. I know it's not an excuse for the other person because they're held responsible for their own faithfulness, but I hope and pray that we would never, ever be looked at as somebody leading somebody down the path of unfaithfulness by your or my unfaithfulness. And so we should always be concerned about that. It's so vitally important. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3, just a couple verses here in 1 Corinthians 3. You know the passage in which, you know, wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, silver, precious stones. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And I really believe that a lot of that has to do with your faithfulness and my faithfulness. And so, just give yourself a good exam tonight as to how faithful are you. How faithful are you? You know the answer to that. God already knows the answer, but so do you know the answer to that. You know how faithful you are. Do you know how old faithful that cone geyser in Yellowstone National Park got its name? Y'all know how it got its name, right? Back in 1870, it was named by an individual on a expedition. And they just kind of stood back and watched this thing. But about every hour, 65 minutes or so, every hour, it really varies from 44 to 125 minutes. This thing, it says, it's highly predictable that it's going to explode and shoot up over 100 feet in the air every hour without fail. They've been watching this for years. And so, I think it's one of the only geysers that actually has a name in Yellowstone, or anywhere for that matter. And it got its name because it's highly predictable. Old Faithful. I would hope and pray that maybe someday the crowds may look back on us and say, there's an Old Faithful. Excuse the expression old, but that person was a faithful person. How about a young faithful? Our kids, our young people, teenagers, young adults. How about a young faithful? We don't have to be classed as old faithful. But it gained its name because it always does that to this day. Anybody ever see that in person? I'd love to go out to Yellowstone and travel that. I've never done that, but it's an amazing place. But that's how it got its name. So Eliezer was an extremely faithful servant. Not only was he faithful, he was obedient. He obeyed his master. His master said, go and do that. And Eliezer didn't sit back and say, Abraham, hello, do you know how long of a journey this is going to be? Do you know what it entails? Do you know how much stuff I've got to take with me? Do you know how long I'm going to be gone? Do you realize that this is something that's not an easy task to do? As far as I know, he never argued, he never questioned Abraham at all. Very much like he saw Abraham never question God when God says, take your son, your only son, and go up on the mount and offer him up as a sacrifice. Eliezer stood back and he watched his master be the same obedient person to God the Father. And I believe that Eliezer also was that obedient person. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. It's better for you to simply obey than it is for you to sacrifice and give. Well, you can give all the money in the world, and yet if you're not obeying God, it's going to do no good. You need to be obedient. The best way to show your faithfulness, by the way, is to be obedient. Amen? The best way to show your faithfulness is to be obedient to God. If God tells you to do something, do it. Jeremiah, look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. And verse 23. I like this verse. Jeremiah 7 and verse 23. It says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Obey my voice. Simply obey God. You and I need to obey God every opportunity that we have. There is no reason for you or I to argue with God or ignore God. How many people today ignore the Holy Spirit? Ignore God when the Lord tells us, or the Holy Spirit or God Himself tells us to do something, or we read it in His Word and we know, to Him to know to do good and doeth not to Him, it is sin. How often do we just ignore God? We're told to give out a tract to that person, and we just, turn the other way. And you understand God. God doesn't understand us. I really believe that God has a hard time with us Christians today. The Holy Spirit has a hard time with us today. We need to be obedient. Let's stop being rebellious and let's be obedient. You want your children to be obedient, don't you? Well, what does God want out of His children? Does God want out of His children obedience or rebellion? Eliezer was faithful. He was obedient. Not only that, he was trustworthy. Abraham could trust this man on this journey. He could trust him to get to his destination and get back. He sent him on a task, and he was trustworthy. Also, Eliezer was a prayerful man. We already read that. We see that in chapter 24 of Genesis, verses 15 down to verse 20. He was a man of prayer. He was praying and asking God for help and for God to give him guidance and direction. And what did God do? God answered his prayer. God took care of the whole thing. We see from this chapter and following it to the end of the chapter that God answered his prayer. And not only with that, here's a second point of the message, if you're keeping track of these points. First of all, is the first one? the willingness. I had to think. The brain is okay. It's just, you know, it's late at night. It's been a long day. The willingness of the servant, but second is the wonder of the servant. The wonder of the servant. Look what he says in verse 21. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He was not only willing as a servant, he was wondering. He had a wonder about him. And so we see the wonder of the servant. And then lastly, we see the worship of the servant. Look at verse 26. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you what, he was thankful that God answered his prayer. He was thankful not only that God answered his prayer, but God answered Abraham's prayer. And he knew that Rebekah was the woman that he was going to take back for Isaac. And that's exactly what he did. Look at verse 48. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Look at verse 52. It came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Not just one time did he worship, but he worshiped many times as a result of this amazing thing that he did for God. Again, I know the theme is a bride for Isaac, and we see that so many times, but sometimes we overlook this amazing servant of Abraham's. And I would like us to think about his service compared to our service. And can we be a servant of God as Eliezer was a servant of God? Can we do the same thing? Can we be faithful in everything that we do? First of all, are we faithful in everything we do? You know where you might falter a little bit in that area. I'm sure we all have some areas in which we could be more faithful too. But are we being faithful? And if you say, I can work on this area and work, then work on those areas. Don't ignore them. Don't just push them aside. Don't just say, fooey on you, fooey on. No, work on those areas of faithfulness. Be the most faithful person you can possibly be. It's your responsibility, my responsibility, to be as faithful as we can. God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to be obedient. Obey God in everything He does. God wants us to be trustworthy. I mean, God wants to trust us with the finances that He gives us. The only thing He requires is 10% back in an offering. That's it. That's it. Thank God for that. I'm glad and thankful that God doesn't require everything that we have. He doesn't want us to send it all back to Him. He says, give me 10% and then give an offering. And that's what we do. Amen. We give 10% back. That's our tithe. That's we just owe that back to God. That's not even a sacrifice for us. Amen. That tithe is not a sacrifice. Oh, I got to sacrifice the tithe. No, you don't. No, you don't. Get that terminology out of your brain, off your lips. That is what we owe God, because He's given us all the things that we have. And then we are amazingly blessed by giving an offering. In our case here in this church, so often is we give a missions offering. Some churches do different things, but I love missions. And I believe that missions is important. Eliezer was prayerful. He was a man that could get a hold of God when needed. And before he even finished his prayer, all of a sudden God is just unraveling this whole thing and revealing to him. Before he was done speaking, Rebekah was coming. And he knew. And God answered his prayer. So let's be like Eliezer a little bit. Not named in this chapter. We know who he is based upon chapter 15. But let's try to be the best servant that we can possibly be for the Lord. Because that is our job as a Christian, is to be a godly servant of God. A godly servant of God. Make sure that you make it a point in your own life, your own Christian walk, that you want to be as faithful as you can. From this day forward, you're going to be faithful. Hey, maybe you faltered a little bit in the past. Don't worry about that. Just put that aside and don't worry about that. Let's be faithful from today forward. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for Eliezer, the example that we see in Scripture. Lord, it's a blessing to see that. I just pray, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us here tonight in this church to be as faithful as